Well, I tell you what, I got an easy book for you to turn to. So why don't we just make our confession first? How about that, okay? So if you have your Bible, whatever format you may have, for those of you joining online, we invite you to join us as well. The words will be on the screen. And if you agree, we invite you to make this confession with us. So you ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. You sound great. Genesis chapter 15. Would you turn there with me? Genesis chapter 15. I'm going to open. We'll look at several verses here, Lord willing, in these next few moments from this chapter. But I'd like to just open with two for right now. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6 says, "And he," speaking of Abraham, "believed in the Lord, and he," the Lord, "accounted it to him for righteousness." So he believed God's word. God credited him with righteousness. And then verse 18, same chapter. "On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham." His name wasn't changed until chapter 17. So I'll just say Abraham to keep it simple. "The Lord made a covenant with him saying, 'To your descendants, I have given this land. From the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates.'" Let me just mention this morning because the message is really going to center on the covenant. The word covenant just simply means a sacred agreement. It's a commitment. Marriage is a God-ordained covenant. It's an agreement, a sacred agreement that husband and wives are to join themselves together, giving themselves to one another in love. And God uses covenants to relate to humanity. He gave a covenant to Noah. He gave a covenant to Abraham. He gave a covenant to the nation of Israel. We call it the law, the Ten Commandments. He gave a covenant to David. And God gave us covenants for this reason, so that we could know him and live in the blessings of that covenant. He gave covenants so we could know him and live in the blessings of that particular covenant. As like I said, they're all different, but they have a uniqueness, but they all point to the New Testament. All the Old Testament covenants point to the new covenant Jesus established for us. There's a scripture, in very familiar scripture. We use it often during communion. It's 1 Corinthians 11:25. It says this: "In the same manner, he," Jesus, "also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood,'" the sinless life's blood that Jesus shed for us on the cross. He said, "This is the new covenant. I'm inaugurating this covenant for you with my life's blood." And he says, "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." I have a double meaning in how I want to share the title today. If we believe God's word, we will live. Let me explain. If we believe God's word as it relates to Jesus and salvation, we'll live forever. We will inherit eternal life. But it's, thank God for eternal life. But I believe there's something for us in earthly life. And if we genuinely believe God's word, we will live in the blessings of the new covenant in our daily lives right now. So here is the title of the message. It's just simply this. I hope to encourage you with it and myself to believe God's word and live. Believe God's word and live forever, and believe God's word and live in his will and in the new covenant right now. In all of our mess that's going on, our daily lives, I thank God for the new covenant. I hope you will also before we're done. So in fact, let me mention this real quick too. For those, if you're joining online or for people here, today is the fourth message in this series. And so I put my notes during that time I'm in a series on our website. I'll give you that in a second. So if you ever miss a service or you want to review them, because the Bible talks about how God's word is a seed that we plant in water so we can bear fruit. So if you want to look at it, and my notes even today as well, for those of you who have children or grandchildren in the kids' church take-home page is there, so it's a resource for you. But here it is, CLM Family, just the initials of the church and the word family, clmfamily.org, and you can read my notes. If you want to listen to it, you can listen to it anytime. If you have your Bluetooth or something like that in your vehicle, you can play it on your car system. So anyway, that's just available for you. I wanted you to know that. Now, one truth, though, about the Bible is it's progressive revelation. In other words, from Genesis to Revelation, God reveals more and more of himself and his will to us. And it's not just in writing, thank God for the words, but he gives us pictures and he gives us images and so forth. And that's why I really wanted to center on this covenant in chapter 15 that God established with Abraham, because it is a picture of the new covenant Jesus established for us by his death on the cross, his burial, and resurrection. So if you drop back to verse 1 of chapter 15, Genesis chapter 15, I'll just read 3 verses here. He says, after these things, this was the last message we shared of how the Lord is our shield and reward. He says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Now, at this point, Abraham is about 80, maybe in his early to mid-80s, and he doesn't have any children. So he says in verse 2, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abraham said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. Now, if you were here on the first message, remember God told him, I'm going to make you a great nation. Well, if he doesn't have any children, it's kind of hard to form a nation without any descendants. So he says, I'm going to make you a great nation. And so Abraham said, well, I don't have any children. What am I supposed to do? And then this is how the Lord responds. I love this. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. God can do what humans can't. And then verse 5, he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. As I was studying for this, I wonder how often we can, because of our own struggles and circumstances and problems and trials and sufferings and pains, we become so focused like this right here. And I wonder this morning if maybe anyone would just hear the word of the Lord and believe and step out from that tent of limiting God and step out from your own limitations and just step out and look now. Would you say look now? He says, look now toward the stars and go ahead and try to count them. I'm going to make your descendants just like that. And maybe this morning, maybe we all need to believe the word of the Lord and look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and consider him, lest we become weary and discouraged in our souls, because it's easy to happen in this journey of life. So to look above the circumstances, focus on the Lord, and give ourselves reminders. Think about that. Every time Abraham went out into the night sky, he was reminded of God's word. God wants us to have memory jogs like that, and have ways to remind ourselves of God's word to build our faith and encourage us. We got to look heavenward. And when we get down and discouraged, let's try to shift our focus and lift it up onto the Lord. And I wonder if even the sun, I believe this, the sun in the sky, S-U-N, can picture the Son of God, S-O-N. And the moon pictures the church. And as the moon reflects the light of the sun to the earth, I believe the church is to reflect the light of Jesus to those around us in the earth. And then the stars represent the individual believers. So he said, not only your physical descendants, but remember, Abraham is a spiritual father to those who walk in his faith. So he says, I'm going to show you sand in chapter 22 to represent your earthly descendants, but I'm going to show you stars right now to represent your heavenly, your spiritual descendants. And so he had that reminder. And then it says this in verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. That's an important verse. The word accounted means to consider or credit. It means because Abraham believed God, believed his word, God considered him righteous, and God credited him with righteousness. In a spiritual bank account, we're all overdrawn because of sin, and we're bankrupt. Jesus says, if you believe in me as Lord, I'm going to load your account up, and I'm going to credit you with God's righteousness. So this verse is actually quoted three times in the New Testament as an example to us, because remember, Abraham was already a believer. But he's showing us something. He's preparing us for the covenant. And so Abraham said, Lord, you've said you're going to give me descendants, and then you said you're going to give me land. In fact, let me read this in verse 7. Then God said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And Abraham asked, what legal claim do I have on this land? And here's what God told him. I'll just, for sake of time, share it with you. He told him to get a three-year-old sacrifice, and then two others. He had a total of five. In the Bible, numbers have meaning. The number three is often associated with the divine, with God. The number five represents grace. And in that culture, what they would typically do is, let's say someone who was a great king owned land and was very powerful, and here's a lesser king. The lesser one would observe this covenant ceremony to say, I'm giving you my loyalty, I'm giving you service, and I'm giving you honor. Now you give me protection and watch over me. And that's what would happen. So here you got these sacrifices. Abraham sliced the three sacrificial animals in the middle, their land like this, and then the two birds he didn't sacrifice. And this is what the Bible says. It says that after he laid them out, vultures came to try to get to those carcasses. And it says when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. I believe that's a picture of demons and anything that would hinder us from walking in the covenant. Remember when Jesus told the parable or the story of the farmer, and he said, the word is the seed. And some of it goes like on a stony surface, and birds come immediately to take it away. Jesus gave the interpretation, and he said, that's how the word is. The word can get in your heart, and the devil's going to come immediately to try to steal it away from you so that it does not take root and bear fruit that you live in. And Abraham had to drive those vultures away. And I'm saying this morning, if we want to walk in the new covenant, we have to drive every and any hindrance away, whether it's a demon or our own doubt or unforgiveness or resentment. We got to drive that mess away if we want to walk in the new covenant. Would you say, believe God's word and live? So we've got to do our part to guard and protect that covenant. Now I want to give you three, I'll call them virtues that we can receive in the new covenant. And so if you want to write them down, we'll put them on the screen. I'll give you the verses, and then I'll close with another scripture. But these three, what the new covenant offers, and if we want to walk in them, we have to believe. So here is the first one. The new covenant offers God's spirit. And I'll give you the scripture references on that. But God's spirit, the first blessing that we receive, or the first benefit, I'll say it that way, of believing God's word is we receive his Holy Spirit. And the Bible says I'll come back to it because I see some of you write it down. Let me just tell you what it says, all right? It's Galatians 3:13-14. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And here's why Jesus became that curse for us on the cross. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Every blessing, every benefit, all growth that's in Christ, all the fruit of the Spirit, it all comes out of a close fellowship and relationship with God by His Spirit. Everything flows from Him. We have a great privilege of knowing God as our Father and living in these blessings and living in fellowship with Him. But He is the one. We could not even be saved without His help. It's a supernatural work. Now, I'm not saying we don't have a choice and a will involved, but God is the one. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. He draws us by His Spirit. He's the one who convicts us of our unbelief. He draws us to the truth that Jesus is the only Lord. And then not only does He draw us when we believe, He indwells us and empowers us to not only learn this new covenant, but to live it out. So believe God's word and live. So all of the benefits flow from Him. Let me read you this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. 2 Corinthians 3, the Bible says this, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Verse 6, who has also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Do you realize that if we are born again, if we're in Christ, we're ministers of the new covenant? What a high and holy calling. And He says, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit, speaking of God's Holy Spirit, gives life. So all of you ministers, welcome to your new covenant ministry. The Lord bless you and prosper you in it. So believe God's word and live. So the new covenant offers God's Spirit. Second, God's righteousness. God's Spirit, God's righteousness, and God's blessings. I'll tell you, we'll go into it in just a moment. I'll give you the scriptures. God's Spirit, God's righteousness, and God's blessing. Would you say that with me? God's Spirit, God's righteousness, and God's blessing. Let me read you this if you're still there in Genesis chapter 15, because it says this after Abraham set up for this covenant ceremony. It says in verse 12, now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Verse 17, I'll skip down. And it came to pass when the sun went down, it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. So here's what happened. Instead of Abraham as the lesser walking through those sacrificial pieces in allegiance and loyalty to God, Abraham was in a deep sleep, and a flame went through those pieces representing the glory and presence of God. And he said, on this covenant, that's on me. I've got it. It's not going to be about your performance, because I'm going to get to that in the law, and I'm going to show everyone, if they would be willing to listen, that you can try all you want, but your efforts are going to fall short. And what you can't do, you can't make yourself righteous, you can't cleanse your heart from sin, I'm going to take it on myself, and I'm going to take on the form of a servant, and I'm going through this alone, and I'm going to do it for you. If you just believe me, I'll credit you with my righteousness. What a blessing. Oh, my goodness. The Bible says this in Romans 10, 9 and 10. This is how God makes us righteous. Can we put that on the screen? Would you read these two verses out loud with me? Let's read them together, verses 9 and 10. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That means we'll be rescued. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Lord said, I've got this one. I'm going to do it alone, because 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says it like this, for he, the Father, made him, the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Just like the presence of God went alone through those sacrifices, Jesus alone suffered and died on the cross to bear the judgment for our sins. Jesus alone arose from the grave, defeating death and Satan and the grave, and Jesus alone is our basis for any righteousness. Please know this. We have nothing to add to what Jesus did by his perfect work and ministry on the cross. We cannot add. We will one day either stand before God in what the scripture calls the filthy rags of our self-righteousness, or we will submit to God's righteousness by faith, and we will stand before him one day clothed in the very righteousness of God himself. Filthy rags or rich robes? Take a pick. But if we want the rich robes of God's righteousness, we must simply do what Abraham did. We must believe. Believe God's word and live. Would you say it with me once again? Believe God's word and live. So the new covenant offers God's spirit, God's righteousness, and God's blessings. God's spirit, God's blessings, and God's righteousness. Let me read this scripture to you in, once again, Genesis 15, verse 18. I read it earlier. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, how many descendants did Abraham have right at that moment? God said, to your descendants, I have. Some of you English experts, help me. All right, grammar. I have given this land. Is that past, present, or future tense? It's already done, past. So God says, I've already given it to you. Now, if you want to walk in the blessing of it, I'll make you righteous and I'll bring my spirit upon you to do what you couldn't do without me, but you have a choice in how you live out obedience to my will and the blessings you walk in. The righteousness is all God. The blessings we have a say in. And it depends on how we believe and live it out. That's why I said, believe God's word and live. This is what the scripture says in Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And then he goes through that chapter and starts to mention some of those spiritual blessings. The spiritual blessings are available for us to believe and walk in right now. I have an article I put out on the table. It says, helping our children discover self-worth and identity in Christ. It's not just for the kids. It's for all of us, because we can be up in age and battle insecurity. But God wants us to build our lives. Please don't build your life on what anyone else says but the one who loves you most and what is aligned with him. So there are the blessings here that you're chosen, you're saved, you're accepted. That's a big one right there. So many times we live in a certain way to get others to accept us, and God says, I'll accept you in Christ. It's a spiritual blessing. You can believe me and walk in it, and you don't have to be a slave to what others think of you to get it. Believe God's word and live. Let me go into the scripture now of Romans 8, if you want to write it down. Romans chapter 8, verses 2 through 4. And I think this is a great scripture to fit in here with this. It says, Romans chapter 8, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. If you're in Christ, you're free. I'm free. We got to believe it in order to live out the blessing of it. Verse 3 says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, the law wasn't bad, as our flesh is weak, God did for us by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. And then verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. Notice, not by us, but might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Thank God we can live in the spiritual blessings of the new covenant, but in order to do so, we must live according to God's spirit and not the flesh. Now, just for sake of time, I want to just ask you to turn to chapter 16 and give you a quick account, and then I'll close with a New Testament scripture. The new covenant offers God's spirit, God's righteousness, and God's blessing. And I really want to close with this and focus on this about the blessing. In Genesis chapter 16, the Bible says this in verse 1. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, "See now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I'll obtain children by her." And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarah. Think about that. This may seem so foreign to us, but in that culture, it was not only accepted, it was promoted. And think about the shame of her barrenness that would cause her to offer her husband to another woman. And Abraham may have been a little too willing to go along with that plan. I don't know. Nonetheless, he ended up having a relationship with her, and she became pregnant. And when she did, her name was Hagar, she had contempt for Sarah. She probably felt like, he's my man. And then Sarah went to her husband, Abraham, and said, "This is all your fault." And he just said, "She's your maid, do what you want." And she treated her so harshly that this single mom, left with nowhere to go and nothing just to get away from Sarah. Now, did God still love Abraham, and he was eventually going to overcome that and fulfill his promise? But did Abraham and the whole family have some consequences to walk through? Do you know she had a son and named him Ishmael? Do you know who claims descent from Ishmael today? There's an entire people group, the Arabs. We have a modern day example of the conflict that can arise between Arab and Jew that went back to a choice that was made after the flesh, as Galatians tells us, rather than after the spirit. We want to walk in God's blessings. We've got to fill our mind with godly thoughts, God's word, and then live it out, and then we reap the blessings. Now, thank God for his mercy. When she left, she went to a well and was just crying, and the angel of the Lord came to her. Thank God he will meet us with compassion and direction. And he said, "What's ailing you, Hagar?" And she explained it to him. God knows, but he wants us to tell him. And she explained it, and he said, "I want you to go back. I want you to go back. Submit yourself to her, and I'm going to give you a son. He's going to be wildly independent, but this is what you're going to name Ishmael," which means God hears. And then she said to the Lord, she named that well, "This is the God who sees me." So see, God hears, God sees, God knows, he cares, and he will offer forgiveness and mercy and restoration. All we have to do is be willing to repent and receive it. But he also offers grace to live out consequences of bad choices to help us not keep making bad choices. That's where we can get into trouble. And it can be frustrating sometimes when you see people, they want to say they get right and start doing the right thing, but then they start facing some of the consequences of bad previous choices, and they don't want to face them, so they go back and make more bad choices instead of staying true to the Lord and walking in his grace to get through them. Believe God's word and live. We can live in the benefits of God's spirit, God's righteousness, and God's blessings. Because we have God's spirit, and because he makes us righteous, we can live in the blessings of the new covenant. We just have to choose to follow his word and be obedient to it. I'll close with this. If you want to join me, would you, I'll just write this scripture down. It's Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. And I'll tell you what happens, and then we'll read one verse. Jesus was teaching in a synagogue one day, and it was on the Sabbath. And there was a woman in the synagogue who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. And in this particular case, she was bent over and could not straighten herself up. Now, you might be like me and have some back issues. That doesn't mean you've got a spirit about of infirmity. You just may have made some poor choices and wrong lifts. But in some cases, sickness can be from a spirit. So this spirit of infirmity was on this woman. And Jesus said, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and she was immediately healed and stood up straight. And the ruler of the synagogue says he was indignant and went to him and said, "There are 6 days to do your work. You come and be healed on that 6 days. This is Sabbath." And Jesus said, "You hypocrite, if you have an ox or donkey, don't you let them out to get water on the Sabbath day?" And this is, he gave the reason, and I really love this scripture. In Luke chapter 13, this is why Jesus said she should be healed. Luke chapter 13, verse 16 says, "So ought not this woman," notice, "being a daughter of Abraham." She was in the covenant. Because she was a daughter of Abraham, Jesus said, "whom Satan is bound," think of it, "for 18 years, shouldn't she be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when Jesus had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. The Bible says in Hebrews 8:6, Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant that was established on better promises. Thank God for the old covenants, but we've got a better one in the new one. And I'm saying we can believe God's word and we can live in it. Let's not let our past failures and all of our flaws and weaknesses and experiences limit. Come on out from under that tent today of limitations and look toward heaven and look to Jesus and let's focus on him and let's believe his word and believe that he's for us, not against us. And every good thing he will give us, if we just trust him and do our part to be obedient, we can walk in the blessings of the new covenant right now on this side of heaven. Believe God's word and live. So today I'll close with this. Maybe today is there anything, any issue, any focus. Maybe just for some of us, we just need to refocus on Jesus. Maybe we need to do our part to, if you feel like your faith is weak, we need to build ourselves up on the faith by reading scripture, confessing it, speaking it, dwelling on it. That's how we feed our faith, our spirit. Maybe for some, we're walking through some consequences of past decisions. I want you to know God's not condemning you. He's offering mercy and grace to help you walk through them. So whatever your need may be today, I would like to ask you, would you just ask the Lord to just come before him and say, "Lord, I'm laying it all before you now. I'm not going to put any limits on you or what you can do in my life. No restraints. I'm inviting you to come in and I want to walk in your full blessings. Now help me to believe you and help me to walk in the spirit and not according to the flesh." Father, we thank you for your faithfulness today. Thank you for your word. It is timeless truth for us. And Father, I pray that wherever that area may be today where we need this truth, would you help us to live it out? Lord, let it be specific. Would you just ask the Lord to show you? Is there a promise that you're just wanting to walk in? And maybe there's a step of faith you could even take today. Every spiritual blessing, my brothers and sisters, is yours. It's ours. Jesus died on the cross to purchase it for us, purchase them. Let's believe him and live in him.